Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, October 4th, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 88. We're going to be at paragraph 1, and we're going to read to the end of that chapter. And it begins with, it works, it really does, and then ends with, the next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Laura R., the 12 traditions, Dori P. Reading the text and support today is Betsy H., Kara L., Shelley E., newcomer greeter, listen for this, will be Lorraine N., and the announcements at the end of the meeting will be Leslie M. The share ID numbers for the previous day's 10 a.m. meeting is 17857, 17857. That would be for the Sunday special edition, October 3rd, 2021. And then today, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, which is the 4th of October, is 17861, 17,861. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Laura R., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. from Colorado. I will now ask Dori P. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. Dori P., grateful compulsive overeater in Georgia, and these are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Dori P. from Georgia, for reading the traditions for us today. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And this is a gentle reminder that star 1 for muting is the best way to keep things nice and clear on this phone meeting. So thank you for that consideration. Today we resume our study of the big book. We're finishing up the chapter Into Action. We're going to be looking at page 88. First paragraph begins with, it works, it really does. And we're going to read the entire rest of that paragraph, a few lines there. It ends with, the next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. And I would like to ask Betsy H. to begin by this study this morning by reading those lines there for us and then sharing her experience on them with us. And then we'll open it up for additional comments. Hey, Betsy, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Betsy H., Covered Commercial Reader. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. Well, in this a couple of short paragraphs, we just finished talking about step 11, and it talked about in step 11, it gave us some prayers to use in the morning, right when we get up, some prayers to use before going to bed, a nightly inventory, you know, the pluses and minuses of what happened during the day and what if we need to make amends for anything. And after that, it gave us some prayers to use all through the day as much as needed. And so they've given us a bit of a routine and given us a bit of a structure to help us be more disciplined. It says here that we alcoholics are undisciplined. And I related to that because I did, I tend to be as a person of extremes, I think, as a food addict. I could definitely, it talks about the last paragraph we read before. It talked about burning up energy foolishly. And I would do that because I would get so upset about different things or obsessed on different things. And having this bit of a discipline or I think of it as a recovery routine, that I need to create recovery routines in my life because I had it so ingrained in my brain, the routines of being in active food addiction, that I need to make a bit of effort to create new routines that are nourishing and that promote my recovery. And so just whatever it is, sometimes I make a checklist or I have like a daily calendar and I make sure I'm doing certain things from my program. And And so it says, you know, these things are important to do, these prayers all through the day, doing our steps. And then the last part of it talks about, okay, now we're going to go on to step 12, which is where I help others to work the 12 steps, help others to recover. And that is so important. It gets its own entire chapter. I can do all the prayers and meditations. I can do my own 10 steps. But if I don't get out of myself, get out of poor me and into being of service to someone else, it's not very likely that I'm going to be able to stay recovered. If I want to be in recovery today, the best thing to do is to help someone else recover, whether it's just that's giving them a phone call, another OA person, whether it's doing some service at a meeting or just showing up at a meeting and sharing or doing anything like that. It's going to help me probably more than the person I help. And that's how it works. So with that, I would like to pass.
Thank you very much, Betsy H. Betsy H. is from California. Thank you for opening us up this morning. So now the lines are going to be open for additional comments on those paragraphs. And we're on page 88 of the big book, just in case. And we started with the first paragraph, it works, it really does. And we're going to finish that out with the next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. So if you'd like to give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state so we can locate you on the membership list. I'd love to get that down for you. And we do value your experience, everyone, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might also share their experience since we have such limited time. So press star 1 on your phone keypad and we'll get this sharing going this morning.
Michelle J.
Hey, Michelle J.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Rob H.
Hey, Rob H.
Tanya P.
Hey, Tanya P. I like that lineup. Let's go with it, and then we'll get some more in a minute. Well, it'll be several 3 minutes. Michelle J, Donna B, Rob H, and Tanya P. Good morning, Michelle J from Arkansas. Your 3 minutes start now.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's me. Recovered today by the grace of God. Up and down, been 3 years. You know, recovery is kind of tricky if you don't do exactly what the book says. And do the work, the work, the work. And I love sometimes we hear that message over and over. So, golly, that little last paragraph kind of was the nail in the, you know, that's it. We foodaholics are undisciplined, so we let God, oh gosh, that's 1, 2, and 3 right there, discipline us in a way simply, you know, we outlined, well, that's the other steps. There's action and more action. Wow, that, you know, how can we not hear just that nutshell and realize you don't ever stop? You made a food list, and with a red food list, it's an action. You do it, and you don't eat those things. You get up in the morning, and you pray, and you ask the power of your understanding to help you. That's an action. You're asking all those action words. I love the program because I get up in the morning and I turn on and I'm with you guys. That 12th step is also my first step. This, when I came to Vision for You, I dialed the phone. I listened to you. I spoke to you. I asked questions. That's action. Every morning I want to get on the line to hear, to listen, to learn. Every day I've got to be proactive. Why? Because fleshly human people, we are undisciplined. If I want to keep what I have, if I want to have a good night's sleep where I go to bed peaceful because God helped me and I did the work and I did not eat what I wasn't supposed to eat that day. And then I became a different person, and my personality starts changing, and I become a better person, and I'm thinking about others instead of myself. I'm viewing the world through God's eyes and not mine. I mean, what you get, the reward is amazing. It is work. You have to do all the steps all the time, and the 11th step helps you to make sure that you are doing them all. And the 12th step is just like the nail that nails it to the wall. Then you teach others. And so you're living it. You're breathing it. You're thinking it. And you're meditating and praying on it. Is it obsessive? No. It's just action. I want it. I want what God has to offer me today. And I want to be not thinking about food. And I want to be recreated. And I want peace and joy. And by gum, I'm going to get up and... It's hard work, but I'm going to do it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle J. from Arkansas. Yeah, you bet. Donna B., you're up now for 3 minutes. And then, Rob, you'll follow Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. Yesterday, I was working with the sponsee, and we were reading Bill's story together. And in Bill's story, it talks about if we fail to enlarge our spiritual life, we're probably not going to remain abstinent. But that sounds like a threat, right? If I don't do it, then I'm not going to be able to remain abstinent. But in that same sentence, it tells me exactly how to enlarge my spiritual life, which is to work. To do the work myself and to work with others. I think that for me personally, the journey to have a spiritual experience, the journey to understand a spiritual awakening, the journey to create a concept of a higher power that is works for me has been a long and zigzaggy journey for sure. So it's encouraging to me that the Big Book is telling me not only by working with others am I likely to enlarge my spiritual life, but I'm also going to ensure myself, unlike any other action, from picking up the food. So these are really big promises. I mean, the point is, right, we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. How do I grow along spiritual lines? How do I enlarge my spiritual life? By work and self-sacrifice with others. So the bounty of working with others is just limitless. And it's also challenging. You know, I think that Bill, in his wisdom, knew that when you put two or more compulsive overeaters, alcoholics, people with addiction together, it isn't going to be rainbows and butterflies all the time. So we get a whole chapter dedicated to working with others to help us navigate the inevitable challenges that come up. When we do this delicate dance with each other, we're definitely going to kick up dirt. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. from Colorado. Rob H. from New York, you're next. And then Tanya will follow you. And then after that, in about 6 minutes, the lines will be open again for additional comments on paragraph 1 to the end of the chapter on page 88 of your Big Book. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Morning. This is Rob H., a compulsive reader from New York. Yeah, it works. It really does. That sort of sticks out to me. I need things to be really simple. And so that statement really is the most simple that it gets. I think, it really does work. I think what works for me the most is that it's a daily program. As far as what works for me, it was, losing weight. You know, my highest weight was 403, and my last weigh-in was 202, so about 200 pounds. And what's working is, yeah, it's a daily thing. Call my sponsor, do the review nightly, do all these other actions, you know. And I don't know, I think the first person said something about getting out of ourselves, getting out of the self-pity. And, you know, I had this other book, it's another AA book, and it talks about, you know, the opposite of self-pity is doing for others. And that really is the antidote when I'm feeling down, you know, like everybody's out to get me or, you know, something like that. Then once I admit that and do, you know, maybe the fourth step inventory or something or whatever, resentment inventory, if I write that out, once I get that out and I share it with somebody, then I work on helping somebody else. That's worked for me for, you know, it worked today. So I just hope that I can continue to keep doing it. And I appreciate everybody that's there and listening and the meeting for being there. And, yeah, I've been reading, I read this in the morning, you know, the On Awakening through to the end of 88, and because my sponsor said I should. And, yeah, it's just good for me to read every morning. I don't always digest the whole thing every morning, but every once in a while, just little pieces come out and this discipline, you know, yeah, I can be very undisciplined. So I need to just do what it says and keep going, and hopefully I'll be able to maintain the weight loss and be of service to other people. Thanks, I pass.
Thanks a lot, Rob H. Rob's from New York. Next up for 3 minutes is Tanya P., and then we're going to open up the lines for additional shares on that paragraph or the several that remain there on page 88 to the end of the chapter. Sorry, my tongue got tied there. So heads up in 3 minutes. Hey, Tanya, good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, where it's super foggy today and actually quite lovely. The thing that really strikes me to begin with is that it works, it really does, is a whole paragraph. And I love that these are just really simple words. We learned these words in second, third, fourth grade, and we've had these words in our lives for a long time. But what is it? You know, that pronoun it, you know, it stands for, it means this program of disciplined principles that we work every day. It can also mean my higher power. It can be, it is a big word, and it's just two letters. It also does the work. I don't do the work. I take the action, but what happens to me as a result of taking the action is this transformation of self. And I'm so grateful that God gives me these disciplines. And as I do the work, it works. I take the actions, and I am transformed. I have had many setbacks, and each time I have a setback, I have a spurt of growth. I'm so grateful for my sponsor who puts up with all my nonsense and helps to discipline me. And I'm not always very grateful for that until I've gotten through whatever the episode is. So the other thing that stands out for me is, you know, this idea that faith without works is dead, that the works are something, they're the actions. And I can talk the talk, but if I don't walk the walk, very cliche but true, I don't follow these disciplines, I will not get well. And I'm so grateful to be recovered. I've lost 150 pounds. Over the course of 2 years. And the blessings I have received include being able to get down on the floor with my grandchildren and play without pain and get back up. And that little example is the kind of the, it's the pivot I move on this is the joy that my life has, and I want to keep that joy. I do not want to give up that joy. My last relapse involved being in a room with chips, and I was in the room with chips because the chips were there, not because my granddaughters were there. And just, I'll wrap up, envisioning that helped me to stop eating. So I thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Tanya P. And Tanya's from Michigan. The lines are now open for additional comments. You'll find us on page 88 of the Big Book in the chapter Into Action. We're going to finish that out today, starting with It Works, It Really Does, and ends with the next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. And we do enjoy all of your experience and the sharing that you do today, but we'd like for you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience too. So with that in mind, I'd like to take the names of anyone that's interested in sharing, your first name, first initial of your last name, and possibly your state, so we can find you. I got Larry G, California, and that's what I got. Cynthia G, Arizona. I got Cynthia C, is that what I have?
Yep.
And then somebody from Arizona. Who's that? Who is that from Arizona? You want to say give me your
voice
again?
Deborah G. From Arizona.
Gotcha. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Janice K.
Let's go with that list and see where that takes us. Okay, Mary, gotcha. Let's go with that list and then see where we have with time when we get to the end of this one. So I have Larry G, Cynthia, Deborah, Janice, and Mary. Hey, Larry, you're up first. Larry G, California.
Larry G, California. Good hearing from you, Melanie. You are a gracious host. Oh, the reader just knocked it out of the park. That was really well said. I am so grateful for this format, and I'm really grateful that we're reading this and studying this for the brand new people in OA, the ones who still suffer like me, came in and relapse, because this reading gives us a blueprint in how to live our day and our evening, and especially this part. I discovered where Bill W. got Faith Without Works Is Dead. And if anybody who doesn't know would like to know, you can call me, Larry G. from California. Because when I discovered it and found the reading, it just made me cry. It was one of the most beautiful written pieces on obedience to God. Here's what I love about the Big Book. I just treasure it. It gives us instructions. I mean, Where do we get that from? I don't get that in my marriage, being a happily married man. I don't get instructions on how to be a friend, a father, a parent, my career. In many of those areas, I have to get coaching, I have to get help, you know, to define how to show up in those areas. But this Big Book gives us extra instructions. And, I mean, if this Big Book could cure AIDS, people would be lined up around the world to practice it, and we have it free. And I just love it that the new persons on the calls today that can take this and begin immediately put this in work. It seems like we ask a lot. The Big Book asks a lot, and in the beginning it does. In the beginning, there's a lot to do to get it on the field, the playing field, to get abstinent. But really, I did a timeline on how much time I spent in the addiction, the food addiction, and it was startling. It really broke down the walls of denial. I spent a lot of time on obsessing, planning, ritualizing it, fantasizing about going out at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, buying my binge foods, 20,000 calories, eating it in isolation, hiding the wrappings, and then the next 2 or 3 days in a food coma, having the frothy emotional peel, and then starting all over again. And I spent a fraction of that time in a vision for you, making calls, reaching out to newcomers, studying the Big Book each day, being in meetings. It's really very easy. It's given me a life that I knew it was possible. I knew it was possible. Anyway, I stopped there. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. You'll find him there. Cynthia C., you're up next for your share from Massachusetts. Good morning to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Melanie. This is Cynthia C. From Newton, Massachusetts, and I apologize for any noise on the sidelines. I'm walking my puppy, who's a little crazy right now, and I guess that's life on life's terms, you know? Life on life's terms. I get called to speak right when she's decided to act up. So it's a good lesson for me. So glad to be on this meeting, and I'm so just glad for the reminder about how much this program works and how much I am just not in charge. You know, I'm just not in charge. And I am really undisciplined. And for most of my life, I'm going to turn 57 in January, and most of my life, I was pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing my will constantly on myself and others, and really just made everybody around me miserable. And I was miserable. You know, and today I learn I'm not in charge, and my higher power is in fact in charge. And I'm at a weird kind of a new bottom, new acceptance, new step one in terms of the fact that I am experiencing a number of GI issues, and I'm experiencing a number of GI issues. And it occurred to me, we just finished a month of Jewish holidays. And it occurred to me, you know, and I was a month of Jewish holidays where I wasn't binging, where I was eating healthy, abstinent foods, where I didn't, you know, once again, didn't gain weight over the Jewish holidays. I mean, that was unheard of before I came into program, and I would have gained, I don't know how much weight, but, you know, I realized that I'm having a number of GI issues, and I didn't want to deal with it because it meant giving up more foods that are abstinent for everyone else, but maybe not working for me for GI issues. And finally it occurred to me, you know, I'm not alone. I don't have to figure this out. You know, hey, I have a higher power to pray to and grant, ask for the willingness. And I can go to my doctor and I can see a specialist and I can see a dietitian who specializes in the GI issues that I'm struggling with. And I don't have to do that. Like, I don't have to do this alone. I have my sponsor. I have my program friends. I have other program friends who struggle with other GI issues. Like, I'm not alone. And it was just really helpful to know that I don't have to figure out the discipline for all of this. I don't have to figure this out. That I have a whole support system, and most importantly, I have a higher power, and I can get down on my knees and I can pray to that higher power on a daily basis to, you know, grant me the willingness to admit that I am powerless over my food addiction, my compulsive eating, and this GI issue, and ask my higher power to, you know, to turn my will and my life over to this higher power. You know, and get direction. I don't have to figure any of this out on my own. And I think that, to me, is really one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in program. You know, is to stop and pause and pray. You know, and from there, thanks, from that centeredness, I get direction that I would never have come up with, would never figure it out on my own. So with that, thank you so much for your service.
Thank you very much, Cynthia C., for your share. Deborah G., Arizona, you're up next, and then Janice Cable coming after you.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater, and thank you all who made this meeting possible. I just love it. It's been so good. Thanks for all the shares so far. And I love how it says, it works. It really does. Huge promise. And it is working for me. I'm not compulsive overeating. That's the grace. That's the promise happening. And, you know, before recovery, I was willy-nilly all over the place, you know, all over the, especially with food, all over the place. And it was just about going through these steps with my sponsor, open-minded, honest, and willing, doing what was asked of me to do, just simply doing that, just simply doing the action, like everything that's been shared, and it worked me. How simple. It worked me. It's like that's what's happening to me today because of living that way of life, living those beautiful steps as a way of life. And it prepared me so that I was in a place where I could let go of the self, 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 willy, willy, nilly, and think about other people so I could help someone else the same way, take them through the same way so that they could have this experience. What a gift. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Janice K., Oregon. Fellow from Oregon. Hi, it's your turn. 3 minutes, and then Mary G. will follow you, and I think we'll have time for a couple of more. So hang tight, folks. Hi, Janice.
Hi. Oh, the smartest things I can do, a lot of times I find that the smartest things I can say are to quote the words of others. So when I read this, this is what I think. There's a phrase in the book where Bill says he was catapulted into the fourth dimension. If you've ever seen a catapult or a picture of one, those puppies are scary if you're there in person. What they are is this huge slingshot, and you put a heavy load, and I mean heavy, like 100 pounds or thereabouts or less in a small one, and the stem is cranked back and down and down until there's great tension and it's almost ready to break when the tension is released and the load is flung. And these things were used in the Middle Ages to break down castle walls. So they're powerful. And when we do the work, we are catapulted into the fourth dimension. It's not a trip through the daisies. It is a profound change. Other things I've heard that apply. This program doesn't work if I want it. It doesn't work just because I need it. I have to do it. Action and then more action. And what do we get out of it? A better way of life than I ever imagined. I have begun doing more outreach calls because, you know, action and more action. And people ask me how I am, and I say I'm doing the trudge. Because the last words in the book are, we trudge the road to happy destiny. And I don't have a cure. All I have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. Every day, I take the actions that provided me with such growth and healing. And I can tell you that when you work steps 10 and 11 hard enough, you cannot hold 12 down. The desire to serve people just sort of explodes. At least that was my experience. And people see the changes and they come and they will ask you for help. So it works. It really does. I am undisciplined, so I let God discipline me according to the steps. I take action and more action. And step 12, step 12 is an unending adventure. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. from Oregon. Mary G., your time is now for 3, and the lines will be open for at least 2 more to share on that paragraph, which is, well, it's a few paragraphs. So you're starting at the first paragraph on page 88. It works. It really does. So get set. Hi, Mary G., you're up for 3.
Hi, good morning. This is Mary G. from Chicago, Illinois, and I really felt drawn to share today simply for the words, faith without works is dead. And ironically, this morning in my quiet time, the reading I chose to read was exactly that reading from where it originally came from. And I don't know, faith without works is dead is just, it's really, I don't know, God is really trying to nudge me, I guess, this morning to do some more works. To me, it means, you know, like somebody else said, you can't talk the talk if you can't walk the walk or whatever, however you say that. You know, I work this program, but there's actions I have to take. There's things I have to do. I can't, you know, just pray to God and hope for the best. I have to do some work. And right now, I'm working with a new person, a brand new person. And like the last person said, it's such a great feeling. It's, you know, I remember there was a time when it was like, oh, all these things that I have to do in program, I have to make these phone calls, I have to help others. I don't have to do those things. I want to do those things. It brings me such great joy to work with another person and to give them or maybe guide them to the hope that I found in this program. And, you know, we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have outlined. The way I lived life before program was insane. There was zero discipline. And today, I live my life according to the steps. I work the steps every day in my life. I remove the food. I turn to God. I admit my wrongs. You know, I pray and meditate, and I do service to others. And I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty nice way to live. It's quite disciplined, and it's a great outline. And I'm so grateful I found it. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary G. You'll find her in Illinois. The lines are now open to end out this meeting with two more spots for folks to be able to share on the readings that we've been discussing today, page 88, starting with paragraph 1. If you'd like to share, please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state.
George E.
I have George. What was that? George E.
Correct.
Is that what I got there? Okay, good. Excellent. And then Penny LC. That'll be the two. You're up first, George, for 3, and then Penny will follow first.
George E., compulsive overeater in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's been a wonderful meeting. I always like those segues between the chapters. It really does work. I mean, I remember getting a call not too long ago from a fellow. In fact, I hope he's listening because he was trying to share that joy. And I guess I just wasn't in the Fellowship of the Spirit that day. And I didn't question it, but I just wasn't feeling it. And then I remember that this program isn't about feelings. It is about actions. Works well. Faith is dead too, you know. I can't transmit what you haven't got. I can't honestly say if I've rocketed to the fourth dimension or not, because if I'm in that rocket, I'm not sure I'm the one who's going to see it. You know, other people see it. And I've been getting good feedback, you know, and that's a form of love, you know, for affirmations, you know, giving affirmations, receiving affirmations. And that's what this paragraph does for me. It works. It really does. It's telling me that it'll work even when I'm thinking, the critic is thinking, this ain't quite shaking it, you know. So I'm really happy to have a program. I don't work it perfectly every day. You know, I try to share with others. But that phrase keeps coming to mind that Bill wrote about, you know, the Father doeth the works, or finally understanding that the Father doeth the works. Yeah, okay, he's doing it through me. But I'm not, if I try to play God, well, everybody knows where that leads. So hope everybody has a good day, and thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, George E. from Ohio. Penny L.C. from Washington, you're up next. Hi.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I was really struck as I listened to several other people read the line, "It works, it really does." And I had to almost laugh because I thought, Oh, aren't we skeptical? I know I was. I was skeptical that if I read through all of these pages thinking, how in the world could this really work? How in the world could those, all those promises that are throughout all of these pages really come true for me? I mean, I couldn't trust it in the beginning. But that's why Bill knew. He said, yeah, it works. It really does. You know, it's like he knows I'm out there thinking, really? Really? Yes, really, Penny, it works. And so there, you know, the verb is there, works. Well, it works, but I have to work it, as has been said too. And so when I'm going back through the pages, not just reading them, but actually executing everything that it's outlined for me, that's when all of those promises do start coming true. And I am able to live it, not just read it. And there is the most amazing miracle that my higher power provides for me. And that allows me to build the trust. Doing it, getting the outcome that's promised to me, and I can start to believe it, have faith in it, and trust it, and know that God is working in my life each step of the way. And then, of course, he uses the very same word, works, in the last paragraph there, but not as a verb, but as a noun. But what does that noun mean? That noun means faith without works is dead. It's action. Those works have to translate into a verb. I have to be willing to take the action to pass on what's been passed to me. And the further blessings that brings me, and the further promises that brings me by giving to someone else and being of service. There is the greatest gift. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny LC. And that wraps up the sharing part of our meeting today. Don't go away. We're not quite finished yet, but we're glad that you're here and appreciate all the shares that came this morning. So as a wrap up today, I'd like to thank everyone for the service that you did to make this meeting possible, the study group possible. It takes a lot of dedicated service for those, and many of them stay over and over and over like a life sentence. And so we're very grateful for that, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to moderate this meeting this morning and hear your voices. As we transition to the last part of our unrecorded piece of our meeting, please don't leave, but I'd like to introduce Kara L., and ask her to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll move on to the next piece. Thanks. Hi, Kara.
Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. Good morning, Melanie. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.